It's all connected.
All right, folks, welcome to the It's All Connected show, right here live on reallibertymedia.com on this Monday, September 28th, 2020. With myself, Grimnir, and the lovely Miss Circle.
Yes.
How are
and,
you?
And today we agreed on, Grimnir, right? We're going to pay just our tribute to the magnificent Trump, right?
Oh, yeah. Endless Trumpisms.
Yeah. Because you all know we are the Trump supporters.
Oh, yeah. Because, right? You know, because we don't go out continually trying to smash down on him. That makes us supporters.
No, I'm going to say that's like a underlying truth we all share, that that's one nasty psycho idiot, huh? I'm going to say that.
Sure, no, I think that's accurate.
I don't know if that's supporting him. I'm guessing I'm supporting him.
Yeah. Anyway, our topic for today, or our subject...
Oh, it wasn't Trump. Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah, my bad.
All right. Anyway, the subject for today, of today's show, is the well-meaning are the worst. And there's lots and lots of the well-meaning out there. So you pick a group of well-meaning people to begin with.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The hopeful ones.
The hopeful.
But that's the question, though, right? Are the hopeful ones a terror organization?
Generally speaking, I would say yes. Those that are the, well, you know, whether they're hopeful or just thinking that they're well-meaning by pushing their beliefs of whatever onto everyone else that's around them, and doing it loudly, and with as much force as they can muster, and they go out.
And the whole political thing is about, you know, especially during election time, right? It's about igniting that flame of hope in people.
Oh, sure, oh, yeah. I mean, if you remember, Was it Obama?
That was Obama. Hope and Change. Yeah.
Hope and Change and Keep Hope Alive. Was that Keep Hope Alive? That might have been Jesse Jackson.
Yeah. Keep Hope Alive. Yeah. It's all about, we've been beating on you for 4 years now. Here we're going to throw you a match and light that flame of hope and go out there and do better.
Right. Well, and I think in today's... Corona land, Corona world, whatever you want to call it. The hopefuls are those, the mask Nazis. You know,
the ones who hope they can stop and fight a virus.
With a mask that was never designed to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
can you imagine what the world would look like if we used warfare on a virus?
Well, you know, I think they kind of said that was the direction, right? Then they say this is a war against an invisible enemy. Wasn't that a Trumpism? We're gonna fight this war against this invisible enemy, and we are gonna win.
But that's ridiculous. That's like a war on a plant, man. Come on.
Well, you know, like war on terrorism. You're fighting an ideology.
Yeah.
You're not fighting a person or a group or a country. Yeah. You're fighting against somebody's thought. And the only reason it's considered terrorism is because you disagree with it.
But isn't that the same as the fight on racism and sexism and homophobia and all? It's all thought crimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, whenever they have a war on whatever, you only wind up with more of whatever. And your war is designed to lose.
Yeah.
To be a failing cause. I mean,
I don't know, because I can be one of the hopeful, though, right? I have the hopeful in me.
You do, but as far as I know, you don't go out there and try and shove that down other people's throats.
No, I already did that, because I am not an idiot. I don't keep repeating the same action and suddenly expect it to magically become something that it isn't. I already tried that. I already tried the whole activism. I already tried that whole thing. And all I got was more of the same.
Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of how it works, right?
Any logic person would say, okay, if I'm getting more of the same, trying to fight getting any, right?
Uh-huh.
Then not fighting this is going to be the good choice, though, right? For now. You know, the first action you do is, oh, stop doing this then, right?
Well, I mean, if you've tried whatever method you're doing to defeat whatever it is you're fighting against, and you continually have it not work, you could either try a different method to fight that, or see what it is actually that you're fighting against. And if your thinking was proper to yourself, of course, not proper to anybody else, because you.
But I'm not just seeing that it doesn't work, though. I am seeing that it's getting worse by election. It's like growing.
Getting worse by election. You mean each election it gets worse?
Yeah. I think for every election, whether it's, and I can only speak for Denmark, though, right? But for every election, the state grows more and more power, the laws become more plentier and plentier, the control becomes more and bigger, right? Everything is more and more centralized. For every election cycle this beast goes through, it feeds and it grows. So the logic, when I identified that, and I thought, okay, the beast is growing through these cycles of election and these cycles it goes through, right? The first thing I did was, okay, stop feeding it.
Okay.
Just walk away from the beast.
But
it's not getting smaller, man.
But do you believe the election actually has anything to do with it growing, or it's just a natural process of, because there's such a...
No, I think that for all the propaganda each election period and campaign period brings, it grows by that, it feeds by that. People somehow buy more and more into it.
Right, the people buy into it.
It gets more and more real.
The people buy into it, but let's just say, okay, there's not any election, but the people out there are still wanting more and more from this group of people that can't really supply any of the things they want. But
no, I'm pretty sure the beast would find another way to feed, though. But a lot of the smoke screen would be gone. Without the elections, the whole smoke screen of participation and hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
That whole smoke screen of hope and participation and we can control this, that would be gone. And what people would see was a beast. So I actually think the democracy is what's keeping the feeding, at least, alive.
Okay.
Because if you couldn't, you know, enter these mad circles of sport event like, it's very decadent, right?
Yeah, my team versus your team, or
it's very decadent. And if you took that whole smoke screen away, at least people would have to look at what's behind it.
Well, then you have the others of us that don't have a team, and we're on the sidelines watching these two battle it out over an imaginary prize that they
and you people just like me know that what's behind the smoke screen is a beast. Not two beasts fighting, one beast.
One beast controlling both of the teams, or however many teams, because you said you have like 18 teams over there, right?
Something like that. We just had a new team today, the Vegan Party. For fuck's sake. Yeah. And I can say I was a vegan for years. I don't mind vegans. I mind vegan politics. What the fuck is up?
Okay, well, we, or at least I, pronounce it vegan, not vegan. But
oh,
not that that matters. I'm just saying it sounds a little weird to my ear
vegan.
When you say
vegan. Vegan, vegan, vegan. No, I'm just, I was one. I lived a vegan lifestyle, right?
Yeah, so you got rid of, like, all your leather belts and shoes and...
Yeah.
And so you were living on...
I didn't do honey. No, I didn't eat honey either.
Not even honey?
No.
Wow.
But I didn't do it because of some political thing.
Now what about
I did it
what,
for myself.
What about the what about the plant people?
I'm not the
pro plant people that say you're killing my friends. You're eating my friends.
Yeah. No, and I'm not I can only eat downfallen fruit and berries that I have rotten kind type either.
What? Say it again?
There are people who will only eat fruit that fell down by itself, right?
Oh, right, because it's already separated itself from its mother.
From the earth, yeah.
Right.
It was given to them by the mother earth, yeah.
Right, but if they let
No, that... no, I didn't do that. I went vegan. now you got me all conscious about that. Because I wanted more energy out of my food.
Did you get more energy out of your food?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because
it felt very nice, and I like the challenge of cooking.
The vegans that I see around, they look sickly. They look just, like they're ready to drop dead at any point from lack of nutrition, from lack of protein, from lack of various
things. I will say I had a job. I volunteered at that point. I did a lot of volunteer work in a vegan health food store full of people who were into alternative treatment, alternative diets, who were homeopathies and all that. So it wasn't all that difficult to do.
Do you know how you can tell if somebody's a vegan or not?
Oh.
They'll never fucking stop telling you.
I didn't know. I wasn't all that about it.
All right.
I wasn't. Because I was hanging out with a lot of vegans, and people were mainly like sharp skins, too.
Sharp skins?
So sharp skins, so they were skinheads against racist prejudice, right? So they were skinheads, but against racist skins.
Okay.
And a lot of them were sharp-edged, too, and sharp-edged means absolutely no stimulants.
Okay.
So no coffee, no tea, no cigarettes, no nothing. And then they were vegan, and then some of them, too, were in the whole animal liberation army, right?
I'm not even familiar with the animal liberation
army. I was not the weird one by just being vegan. Let's just put it like that.
Okay. So the Animal Liberation Army, and my thought goes immediately to 12 Monkeys.
Something like that.
You're familiar with that film.
Those are the people who will let out minks and stuff like that.
Yeah, or whatever animals are in a lab for testing or
yeah,
other purposes such as that. Sure. Yeah, yeah. The Army of the 12
They
Monkeys.
Are very well-meaning. Extremely well-meaning people, right?
I think they are.
Yeah.
Either that, or I think a lot of people join these groups, these well-meaning groups, just to be part of something, whether they fully buy into it or not. They want to be part of a group of people that kind of resembles their beliefs, and they're willing to go ahead and do actions to show their. They've bought into the ideology of that, whatever that group is.
Yeah, well, I don't know about in America, but the people I hung around, most of them were the weirdos in school who always looked at life a little different and didn't just, eat the mainstream bullshit.
Yeah.
And they ended up finding each other in that squatters and political movement about the right of being different. That was mainly the focus of all my activism, was the right to step out of the square boxes and the concrete and just put art back on the menu.
Okay, good. And now...
Art is more important than war. That was pretty much my message, was art is more important than war, man.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah. But so you stepped out of the square boxes. Did you come to realize that there is no box other than that one that you create for yourself?
That is what I realized later, right?
Okay.
You see, I think I did my first activism really when I was 12. We squatted my school's gym room because they were closing down the school and we loved our school. So we squatted it for a week and defended our school. And then the politician came and talked to us and we talked them into not closing our school.
And it worked, huh?
That one worked, yeah.
Oh, okay. And how many of you were there defending your school?
About 40 or 50 students.
Okay.
On and off, right? And moms and parents came with food, and we barricaded the gym, right?
All right. So
no one showed up to classes and stuff like that.
Yeah. And what kind of school is this?
That's a public school.
Right, just like a regular high school.
Well, see, we don't. Our schools go from 0th grade to 10th grade, right?
Oh, okay.
I was in 6th grade or so. And of course, it was mainly driven by the 8th, 9th, and 10th graders who really loved their school.
Okay.
Our school was the small school of the region we lived in. So if they closed our school, we'd be going to these major big public schools. We really liked our little school.
Well, that's good. Then you had a cause and you believed in it. And,
yeah.
I don't think that I would ever.
So very well meaning, right? Because the only thing we got out of it, and this is where the well meaning is in, right?
Uh-huh.
That some other school got closed though. So the kids who we had a small good school, right? But the ones in one of the bigger schools, they got closed down, so their school became gigantic because they had to close the school.
Yeah.
And the people who went to those bigger schools, most of them didn't have parents that would stand up and help you squat the gym and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would
imagine
that.
That's the well-meaningless, or the well-meaningful, right?
The well-meaningless, I like that. they are very meaningless. All right, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, so that's interesting. You guys are totally different over there. But tell me this, how much of what you learned in that school, going through all those years of that school, have you since realized was bad information?
I don't know. Not a lot of it. Because I don't remember being indoctrinated a lot.
Okay, but then they taught you history, right?
They taught me history, yes.
And do you find that history was accurate to the best of
the
your knowledge?
Is, we got it. You get history in the later classes in Denmark. You don't have it when you're really young. That's where you mainly do Danish and math and stuff like that. And by that time, I had been to the library a lot because I spend most of my classes in the library and not in the classroom because I was way ahead on the actual stuff they were doing in class.
Right.
And the teachers all thought that I was a disturbance, right? Because I was way ahead. And I talked a lot. So I got sent to the library. So So I read a lot of books when I was very, you know, when I wasn't all that. And I had a great librarian. And he would say, when I asked him, so, because one of the first things I remember where I was told one thing and I studied it and I read something else and I figured out something else was about Palestine and Israel. And that's what took me to the whole political thing. And I wasn't very old by then.
Okay.
And I had this great librarian and he spent a lot of time. We read a lot of books. and books about various topics. Some of them were, you know, one of them was Palestine and Israel. And I did a big old school report and handed it over. And that wasn't part of what my class was doing. So when we made it to the earlier or later years and they started with history, I had all that knowledge and I would pretty much just ask questions.
Right.
So I don't remember the whole school as one big indoctrination. I more remember it as people helping me and guiding me to find knowledge myself.
Well, that's good. It's so different than what, you know, in the States here. But anyway, back to our original topic.
Yes, the well-meaning.
The well-meaning are the worst. And you could take it like, and again, you know, I can only speak of what I know as far as America goes or what. But back in the, you know, early 1900s, that era, they came out with this prohibition of alcohol, right? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So all these prohibitionists just started this big push to get alcohol prohibited. And they did it, and they actually passed it through a constitutional amendment.
Mm.
And from that brought all of the gang wars, brought up the organized mafia and things like that in order, because regardless of what these well-meaning people thinking that alcohol was the devil and was going to kill people, people didn't care. People still wanted it. They still wanted their freedom to be able to, you know, drink if they felt like it or not. And so because of that, all these underground groups sprung up, all these criminal gangs, and then the government itself actually trying to fight back against the people that were thinking that they should still be able to have alcohol, put out poisoned alcohol to kill people that thought they should be able to drink when the government said, no, you can't. And then the organized crime that started back then goes through on to this day. Of course, not under the alcohol thing, because that was eventually repealed because of all the violence that was brought up around it. Of course, then they started prohibiting other things, such as marijuana.
That's what the old old pot dealers out in Freetown, Christiania, they used to say that if you ask why was pot illegal, they would say, well, it's because in America alcohol used to be illegal and then it wasn't.
Right.
And that's why pot is illegal in Denmark.
And everywhere else in the world, because they shoved it into the UN charter that marijuana would be illegal all around the world.
Yeah, because America needs to have a war on their own people about something.
Right. Well, they need it because they need to, you know, criminalize groups or at least put groups in fear over being called a criminal. Or treated as a criminal and be able to do bad things to people the government, considered undesirable, which means anybody that just didn't, you know, follow the agenda blindly.
And it is the appeal to the well-meaning, right?
Well, it's, yeah. I mean, that's how it all started, the well-meaning. Those people that were prohibitionists were the well-meaning. They were going to save you from the demon alcohol.
God-fearing people.
Yeah.
I heard about those, like the silent majority, too.
Which, you know, I mean, even those people, I would think they would think it was weird to be demonizing alcohol, being there were Christians and Jesus himself drank plenty of wine and...
But the things that Christian people have been able to tell themselves, even though they read the Bible, right? It's just amazing to me. You can read the book, and you can still tell yourself something completely different.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, there's a whole thing that you see people calling people that don't believe exactly as they do various names or trying to do bad things to them. when the teachings of their guy Jesus there were to not judge other folk.
Yeah.
Not,
I don't get how can you look at, you know, be a Christian and then I'm just that and then be a lady Supreme Court judge?
I don't know.
That doesn't, you know, I'm sorry, but that doesn't connect.
It does.
That really isn't connected, though.
Okay, explain to me how a lady Christian being a Supreme Court judge goes against the Christian doctrine.
Because Christianity is always a patriarchy. Women ain't supposed to speak. Women ain't supposed to hold power or position. Women doesn't own anything. Women are a property to their men. You can just look at the Ten Commandments. Those would be the one thing that all Christians kind of do agree upon, right?
I guess. I would hope so.
Yeah, they're not written for women. Women are mentioned in them.
Yes.
Wives. Yes, wives and stock, slaves and servants. Yeah. You can't be a Christian and a woman and then, you know, all of a sudden assume a position of power. Women aren't supposed to speak in churches. That's so in the Bible, right?
I don't know. I'm unfamiliar with that.
It said so in the Bible.
With those teachings.
Women don't speak in churches, no.
Well, what about somebody like Joan of Arc? She was strongly Christian.
In denial, then? Completely in denial, or a big fat liar, though?
Okay.
I think the Christian God is pretty clear on women and power. That we're ain't having it.
Okay, well, you say the Christian God, but that's the same as like the Jewish God, right?
Yeah.
Same God.
But yeah.
But then the Christians threw in, okay, this is the Son.
Yeah.
So now you'll have him between you and God.
Yeah.
I guess between, I don't know, next to, I don't really know how it works.
No. I'm just saying, how can you, I mean, come on. That's the same as, how can you be a Muslim woman in a power position? Come on. Then you're not a Muslim woman.
I would think not, yeah.
They don't connect.
Yeah, Flash points out that Christians rewrote the Jewish book.
Yeah. But all those Abrahamic fucktards, they're all patriarchy, though.
Oh, sure.
Women are property to their men. That's pretty much it. You know, like livestock and servants and slaves.
Are you the property of Flash?
Sure. We can say that. Is he then responsible for me?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You got to care for your property. Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying, I mean, that's just how much bullshit can you actually have in this world, right? We just turn all these wheels and suddenly something isn't what it was.
Well, there's apparently an endless supply of bullshit. the bullshit comes by the truckload, and there's an endless line of trucks there shoveling that stuff in. So.
Yeah. I don't know, because I wanted to touch, because with all this well-meaning and the hopeful and all this name-calling we're putting other people into, right? And I fall definitely into a couple of those categories myself if I don't pay attention to myself. Because I have hope and I have ideologies and I can get that flame of hope and it will take me and I'm gonna go fix stuff, right?
Yeah.
Until I, you know, walk past a mirror and I go, for fuck's sake, sir, you ain't fixing anything. Whatever you touch, you're just going to fuck up even more. So just, you know, go do art. At least.
Yeah. Well, you know, do whatever it is you enjoy and And that'll enrich your life. If you're not enjoying life, you're doing something wrong. You got something messed up.
And if you're spending your entire life fixing shit,
or fixating on shit,
chances are you're part of the problem, man. If you're fixing shit.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And if you're about hope and change, chances are you're probably part of the problem too. And it just, that's heartbreaking to realize, though, right?
I guess. I mean, it would be to the person that was doing the hope and changey type stuff.
Yeah.
Once they realize, if they ever realize, that they are not only part of the problem, but they're part of the problem, causing the problems to themselves.
The part about the well-meaning Grimner is they cause problems, especially to others.
Yeah, and they can never be fulfilled in their own life, because regardless of what comes about, they're still going to want something else different, something else change, something else to push, a new cause.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, we were talking about the golden rule, right?
Yeah, one second.
And we figured out there were three of them, right, Grimner?
Oh, yeah, there's three.
There's the American one. Yeah, that's yours. Go for it.
Yeah, do unto others before they do unto you.
Yes, that's the aggressive one, right? Paranoid one.
Yeah,
do unto others before they do unto you. And then there's the, you know, kind of the aggressive one that would say, do unto others as you wish done unto you, right?
Right, yeah.
And I don't like either of those. I'm going to go with the passive one that says, don't do unto others what you don't wish done unto you, right?
Right.
So just, you know, don't go about doing for others all the time. I really like these kind of cakes, so I baked you 13. Here you go. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I need 13 cakes.
Yes. Right. But just, you know, don't do to other people what you don't wish done to yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's fine to be able to, you know, tell other people about what your ideas and thoughts are, your wants, whatever. But once you start saying, because I like this, you have to like this, and I don't like that, so you can't do that.
Because I know what's better for us.
Right, yeah.
That's the voice of the well-meaning, right? I know what's better. I will well-meaningly take care of this for you. You don't need to concern yourself.
Right, or you can apply that to voters. Any voter out there, they're voting because they believe that this person is going to help somebody somewhere, somehow, or this thing that somebody's doing, they shouldn't be doing. So they're going to vote and have the violence of the state pushed upon other people, or hoping, that's what they hope with their vote anyway, that I don't like this, so I'm going to vote for this thing so that the state will threaten you with violence in the worst manner possible. It could be financial, could be kidnapping, could be murder, because, well, you were eating the wrong kind of fruit or whatever.
Right, it's the smoke screen again.
Yeah,
the beast has gotten so big that they, you know, if you vote, you're under the hope or the faith-based impression that you can control this beast.
Right,
because you're voting about taking on the reins of it. Right, you're gonna ride it and control it. Right, and it's gone way bigger. Nobody is gonna control that beast.
No, not at all. And now, with all this corona nonsense, the beast has grown 10 times its other size, previous size. And I mean, they don't even need to pass laws now. You just have this one person that some group of people within the area, the geographic area that you're located in, said, all right, we want her to run the show here. And so she said, all right, I'm going to run the show. And now with this pandemic or plandemic or scamdemic, whatever you want to call it, I have given myself ultimate power to force everybody to do anything that I say, regardless of how illogical it is, how meaningless it is, and they say they're following the science when they're absolutely not following the science, and they're enforcing, or they're having their thugs go out and enforce their edicts on everybody. And then they get people, the regular folk out there, some of them who voted for that person, some of them who didn't. They get those people out there saying, oh, this person's not following these crazy edicts. I got to report them to somebody so some bad stuff will happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if I'm going to be hurt, then by God, it's so are you.
Or not even that. It's just like you may possibly in some way be causing me or somebody else some kind of harm, even though it's nonsense. So I'm going to make sure you get harmed in some way or another.
The last thing, you know, the last time I checked, science is based on evidence, right? Evidence needs a certain kind of heaviness, right?
Yeah.
You got to have a lot of data to be evidence-based.
Yeah,
if you're not
you
just going to be projecting,
and it's got to be accurate,
sham causality, right?
It's
if you want to use, if you're going to be evidence based, you're going to need a fuckload of data. I don't even see how this COVID-19 and a worldwide pandemic has even gotten enough data to even claim to be science or evidence.
Oh, they just made it up. They did. It's just like with the whole global warming nonsense. They just manufactured data.
Yeah. And they've been doing nothing but destroying their own data from day one,
right,
by changing the parameters of how they gather it all the way through. Nothing consistent comes from this data.
Yeah.
I work with actuarians. I worked in an actuarial department for 3.5 years. Actuarians are pretty, that's what they do.
Right.
They make predictive models on data, right?
Mm-hmm.
About risks in very high-fold and many-factor environments, right?
Sure.
I know the amount of data these people want if they're going to make just one kind of prediction or say they were based on evidence. And you don't have that amount of data nowhere in the world to do that.
No, no.
Not with this COVID-19.
And you're 100% right, Moose Girl. Mean people are mean.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm with you. There's nothing scientific in any of this. There can't be.
No, the thing is, so they spit out all this data, and they say, this is what's happening, this is what's going on. And then evidence comes out that they faked all that data, manufactured all that data, and the people ignore that. They don't care. They go with the original manufactured data. And regardless of the fact that, look, we have the evidence here. They made all of this up. And the people go, yeah, but we like the other data because it makes us scared. And then the state comes along and says, oh, we're going to save you from that evil fake data. And so that gives us comfort.
Yes. Yeah.
It's crazy.
All I can say, with the amount, okay, this is the paradox of the data-driven age, right? The more data humans collect, the more refined the models get, the less we can predict the future.
Right, it becomes garbage. I mean, too much data becomes garbage at a certain point.
And you have so many outcomes by now, right? Everything is escalating and everything is happening at a factor 1,000 than what it did just, you know, 10 years ago. So for every prediction you can make, you're going to have tons of new outcomes that change all the time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a quickening going on I don't know even what to call it. Tyranny is the best thing I could come up with on that. But it's rampant and hog wild now. I mean, it just anything now. If you're getting this bad data from these people that want to control and manipulate you to act and believe and think in a certain way, if you say something against that, that is now considered a crime. for you questioning, even questioning what their intentions are and what their agenda is and what they're where they're getting their information from. So if you go up and you say your data is incorrect and bad, they criminalize you for that.
Did the U.S. start? Because in Denmark, we already started. We're sick and tired of politicians, and we've been that way for 20 years now, right?
Right.
And the well-meaning opposition to that is to go towards the technocracy.
Sure.
So we're moving towards the technocracy.
The whole world is, yeah. The whole world is.
Yes. So you're doing the same in America. You're getting so fed up with the value-based, so now people start looking for the fact-based.
Right.
Not understanding that that's as biased as the value-based shit is.
Sure. Right.
Because bias you're never going to get out of, right?
Well, no. I mean, everybody's got their own bias, and they carry it with them.
So do you see the move towards technocracies? That's a dangerous move, so do you see it as a good move?
I do not see it as a good move. No. I don't see any of these ocracies as a good thing. I'm not a fan of the ocracies or the isms.
It's the uterus of Star Trek, though, right?
What?
I wanted to say uterus.
The uterus of Star Trek?
Of Star Trek. Technocracy.
What?
Well, right?
Okay. Okay. On Star Trek, all the Star Trek shows, you got all these ships flying around and some crews, and it all looks fun and wonderful.
And they're all based on models and algorithms.
Or dangerous and exciting. But if you look behind the Star Treks to the situation that's going on Earth, and they show you, oh, yeah, we don't have war, we don't have hate, we don't have hunger, we fixed all of that.
But that's the promise of the technocracy.
But the only way they could have possibly done that is through total control of the population.
Yes.
Right. So,
it's a dystopia. Star Trek is a dystopia.
It is.
The one you are not seeing the underground opposition movement of Earth. And I promise you, it is there.
Oh, no question about it.
That is for sure. Where there's humans and there's government, there is the underground opposition. That's a given.
Absolutely. And you know, anytime you try and control people, you're going to have problems. And it's like that Lion Princess Leia from Star Wars. And she said,
"Go
the tighter you make your grip, Tarkin, the more will slip through your fingers."
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So.
We have a Danish Christmas song that says, "If you tighten the string, you will kill the baby."
What do you got?
That's a Christmas song.
You have the string around the baby's neck.
Yeah. So that's what people say: if you tighten the string, you can kill the baby.
All right. I don't know what you do with a string around a baby's neck in the first place.
I don't
place.
Know either.
But well, yeah, there's a lot of those baby things that you go. They're telling this to babies and kids, you know, like the rockabye baby thing. You got a baby up in the treetops rocking in a cradle, and then the branches got to break, and the baby's got to fall to the ground. It's just like, yeah, that's a great story for kids.
Yeah.
The Hansel and Gretel story, you know, where they go out to the grandma's house and get eaten by the wolf.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's a little Red Riding Hood. The Hansel and Gretel is they get stuffed in the oven by the witch.
By the witch, yeah.
Either way, yeah. I mean, you're telling these kids these stories about all these horrible things that are going to happen to them.
Yeah, the Brother Grimm's tales. Those are grim.
Grim, very grim. They're grimmer than I am.
Oh. Yeah. The Danish word, because grim is a Danish word that means ugly.
Grim?
Grim. Yeah, it's grim.
What? Say again?
Krep.
See, it just sounds like you're clearing your throat.
No, that's what Danny sounds like.
Do you need a cough lozenge or something there?
Why do you think only 5 million people speak this language?
I do, yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Oh boy.
So we can't talk about the well-meaning and not talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, right?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was well-meaning, right?
I'm thinking he's a martyr of the well-meaning, though, right? He's out there fixing things.
But he was a well-meaning guy and became the martyr of the rest of the well-meaning that were gathered in that, you know, on that street on that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, to me, he was just stupid. But
but isn't it just as stupid to go over and tell people to put on a mask or don't put on a mask? Or...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's the same well-meaning, right? I actually make an effort to go out of my way to do something to tell it to, you know, push you back.
Right. Well, I think he should have never been there. I mean, I understand the purpose behind it all. Now, I don't know, of course, all the details and facts about exactly...
He's a patriot, though, right? Wasn't he a well-meaning patriot?
Yeah, patriot. Patriots are well-meaning. And I'm not a fan of patriots either. I'm not, because... You're saying that because I was born on this piece of land under this, you know, group of thugs that call itself the state of this area, that created these roles, I'm better than the people on the other side of this imaginary line in the dirt. So, hooray for my state, boo for yours.
Okay, so when the American Antifa, because I know that they've been doing that in the earlier years before they did all the riots and stuff. I know the Antifa in America, they used to go out and help, you know, grandmothers or single people who got evicted from their houses, right?
I didn't know that.
No, but they would travel from state to state, you know, as part of being activists. And go help grandma to fight off corporate, banker, military-looking guards from coming and kicking her out with force of her house because she couldn't pay her house mortgage.
I didn't know that they actually did, like, humanitarian-style work.
I assume they're Antifa people because, just black bloc, really, and that is what Antifa is in America, I think. But I've seen I've seen a lot of videos of that where you got military big goons with machine rifles and everything that are corporate guards from the banks kicking out people from their houses in America. And these activists go there and at least document it and stand by those people's sides as it's happening, right?
Yeah.
You know, at least calling out and saying, why are you doing this?
Right.
And
well,
I'm just saying, that's no different than what that Kyle Rittenhouse did, in a sense.
Yeah.
He went to a situation where he saw somebody's property being fucked up and stolen and destroyed, and he helped protect it, right?
Well, you would think, but to me it was kind of like, you know, walking into a forest fire with a squirt gun and thinking you're going to help somehow.
Yeah, that's the other side. I'm just trying to be, you know.
I mean,
that's the other side.
you're not benefiting anybody by being there. You're a burr under the saddle, if you will. And you know, those people are going to do what they're going to do there, and you and whatever little group of folk you're with, thinking that somehow. You're going to change this massive mob of people's minds to not do what they're thinking. And I don't even know what's driving these people in the first place to go out there and cause all this vandalism. If their purpose is as stated, is to be against police brutality, why are you burning down your neighbors' stores, their livelihoods?
They're just angry.
You're attacking your neighbor when they had nothing to do with the situation that's going on that you're supposedly out there to be against.
Yeah.
So I understand that, you know, certain people would get upset and go and try and prevent the situation from furthering or extending, but the way they went about it is just wrong and destined to cause more problem than it fixes, which is the well-meaning
the martyr.
Well, becoming the martyr at that point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he is, though. He's gaining a following, isn't he?
Oh, sure. No, he's got a huge following. And then, of course, anybody that follows him or thinks he was right is, whether they are or not, labeled as a Trump person. Because
war cultures love martyrs. The whole war propaganda, no matter how you look at it, and religion, they are also interconnected. State and religion and war and all that nasty shit, those are connected.
Oh, right? big time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the religion, you know, became the state. You know, it used to be, I mean, the Catholic Church used to be really powerful back in the day.
Sex was invented by church, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know, Julius Caesar sure did his share of fair share of taxing. So I don't know.
Just, you know, ruling elite fucktards invented taxes then.
Yeah. So I don't know, but that kind of, but now, I mean, the state is the religion of most people. Whether or not they also claim to be part of some other religion, they bow to the state on deeply bended knee. And whatever the state says is right. And if you speak out against the state, you're like, you know, a demon or something.
Because that's what the technocracy is, though. When you lost faith in humans and you start gaining more trust in the system and in state.
Sure.
When I'm gonna go with, again, do the opposite, right? because what we're doing is not working, so more of it the same is not gonna somehow magically create something new. So the whole thing is maybe start trusting in human beings again, and not in systems and states.
Okay, but our
maybe start trusting your neighbor.
Yeah. Well, see, that's kind of, you know, if your neighbor, you know, strongly believes in stuff and you don't, see, it's a situation where, what's that?
That makes for some nice evenings.
I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. Well, when you debate shit, that makes people insane.
Yeah, but as far as, like, the technocracy goes, are you familiar with the story behind the song by Rush, 2112?
Fish.
What?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fish. No, it's like technocracy taken to the, you know, the maximum degree. Where the state is basically the religious technocracy, if you can kind of wrap your head around that.
That's where you are today, though.
Oh no, it goes beyond that. I wouldn't be surprised if by the year 2112, that's not completely accurate. You should read the story or at least listen to the song, but. You know, it might be quicker just to read it. It's, you know, 20-odd minutes or so, yeah. Something like that. But anyway, it's a great story. it follows exactly along with the line of where society as a whole globally is headed.
It's funny because when I went to school, my Danish teacher forced us to read a book called See the Day, The Light of the Day. And that whole book, it's from a Danish author who writes really weird books. But that whole book is one big story warning us against technocracy. And it was about a world where suicide became an epidemic. So there was a worldwide suicide epidemic because people lost the meaning of living. So as a counter to that, everybody started living one-day lives. So they would wake up in the morning somewhere and with a little piece of paper that told them, you are today married to this guy, you work as this, you do this, and this is your day, you have these two kids. And then they would live out that day. And the next, during the night, somebody would come in and put move people around and they would take this drug and they would wake up the next day in a completely new life, right?
Okay.
And the story is two people fell in love and that's their story about how they escaped that whole madness. But that whole book is like one big warning against technocracy where, you know, because we have something as horrible as a suicide epidemic, because we lost all faith and hope, there it goes again, right? All the hope in humanity, we shouldn't let systems and computers and I'm guessing intelligence take over.
Yeah, I mean, there are, and it sounds like a good story, but there are a ton of stories out there warning you against the exact that exact kind of thing. You know, you go with Minority Report, Fahrenheit 451, Brave New World, 1984. Take your pick.
Sylvester Stallone, weird movie, what's it called? With the three shells.
With the three shells?
Yeah.
Three okay, shells. I don't know.
Sylvester Stallone, Sandra Bullock.
Three shells. I don't know.
Instead of toilet paper, they got this system with three shells. Okay, yeah. You're right. It's something that we've been warned about.
Right, so...
Demolition Man, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really care for that film, but... yeah, it was all right, I guess. Anyway... yeah, sly. But anyway, nobody can say when this stuff comes and it's coming strongly and it's coming fast and we're halfway there maybe now. You can't say you weren't warned.
No, because you started reporting on this 8 years ago when I first met Grimnir.
Yeah.
You had the Ray Kurzweil and his prediction for singularity.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a radio show about all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Tao.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, well, we're out of time here. Good conversation.
I don't know if we covered. Yeah, did we?
Yeah, we didn't fully cover the information that we were intended to, but that's all right. We covered plenty of other stuff that, whatever. Makes sense.
I think we bashed the world meeting enough, though, right?
I don't know. I don't think there's really ever enough bashing for that.
True. That's true. Yeah, we always got next week to continue that.
Yeah, next week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Karens and what they mean to you. that's a whole thing that started this year. Karens. We never had Karens before this year.
They are well-meaning, man.
Oh, they're super well-meaning and super dangerous.
Yeah, go be well-meaning somewhere else.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks to everybody for tuning in here to It's All Connected with Circle and Grimnir. See, you're first.
Just listen to the jingle, Grimnir. It will lead you to the truth.
We'll be back next week with another episode. Same bat time, same bat channel. Tomorrow is hopefully Flash in a Perfect World at 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll see if he does a show or not.
Okay.
Sometimes he do. Sometimes he don't.
Something tells me he will.
Okay, good. And check the schedule on reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz for all the other shows coming up throughout the week. And what else do I got to say?
I'll bring back Mary.
Huh?
More Mary on RLM.
Yeah, more Mary. More Grammy. More Gram Z for me. All right.
Yes.
All right. If anybody wants to do a show, just let me know. You can do it in the chat, but I prefer you use the form on reallibertymedia.com, the contact form. And I'll get you set up, really. Oh, by the way, there is a new version of Butt I haven't tried it out yet. It just came yesterday.
Remember, I got a new butt.
A new butt. I got a fresh butt. Fresh, clean butt. Fresh, clean butt.
I think your butt would be good for the Moves Girl and Donna.
Okay. Right? I'm good with that.
Yeah. Moves Girl and Donna crawl into Grimnir's butt.
Well, not crawl into, but, you know.
Hey, share your butt, man.
They can squeeze it or whatever. Anyway, as we digress here, thanks, everybody. Have a good day. Have a good week. Have a good month, year, life. Peace.